Hi everyone, I am here with Danielle Byard-Jackson, and I'm so excited for this episode. Before I even introduce her, I have to say that I'm so excited because I went to one of her events and I was like, I need to have her on and talk to her more. The work she does is so important. But she's a publicist, friendship coach, and educator, and we have kind of run in the same circles but haven't actually connected. But I love the work that she does specifically around friendship and female friendship. And I'm super excited to talk to her about her journey, because I didn't even know that her job or her role was a thing until I found her. So I think it's so cool. But Danielle, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me as a guest. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Okay, so let's just kick it off by talking about what you wanted to do with your life when you were a child. What did you want to be when you grew up? What was your dream job?
I knew it was either going to be lawyer or teacher. And that was something kind of fed into me by parents, because they're like, you run your mouth a lot. You should be, you know, so, and I actually did pursue that track a little bit. I was a high school teacher for 6 years before getting into this. But that was like my dream job growing up.
How did you go from teacher to what you do now?
Yeah, so I was a high school teacher for about 6 years and worked my way up to academic chair for the department and all those good things. But between classes and after school, the girls specifically would come to me with their friendship issues. Now, I didn't realize at the time I was unofficially coaching them through it, but that was like a big theme in being a young woman, you know? And so I left and I got into the world of public relations. And I was surprised to learn that these high-achieving, charismatic women were also struggling privately with their platonic relationships with other women as well. And so that's when I kind of had a moment of like, oh, wait a second. Like at every stage of womanhood, we're trying to figure out, how do I have healthy relationships with other women? So, you know, long story short, I doubled down and leveraged my background in education. And now I teach what the research has to say about women's cooperation, communication, and conflict.
I love that you offer solutions as like practical solutions, because I feel like it's one of those things where it's just easy to wallow and just, you know, and I'm so guilty of that. Just like, kind of like, woe is me. I miss college when I could just, you know, walk to my friend's apartment, and now it's so hard. But it's so hard to shift your mindset to like, okay, what am I going to do about it? So I think that you do a really good job of that. How has social media played into the work that you do?
You know, I during the pandemic, I was super close to shutting the business down, because to be transparent, it wasn't really making that much money. I was, you know, already doing my thing with, you know, the PR agency that I have. But this just felt like a lot of time and energy. I was so close to shutting it down. My husband was like, you can't keep complaining about being tired, but then also taking on a lot of things. And I was like, you're right. You're right. And so I was about to make my announcement to the few clients I had to say like, hey, I'm going to pause this. And a TikTok video went viral. And it was maybe 9 seconds long of me like stitching a video in response to somebody else about, you know, a fact about women's friendship. And that changed everything. And I think it helps that I was ready. Website was ready. Content was ready. I had been coaching. So it just brought attention to something I was already doing. But it's played a big role in meeting new audiences and in content development, because one piece of feedback I get often is like, oh my gosh, I feel like that was just for me. Like, it's so specific. I feel like that was for me. I don't think it's because I'm so perceptive. I mean, I like to think I am, but I'm not so perceptive. I'm really listening to the comments. I'm listening to what they're saying in the comments on my social media and then giving it back to them, so that it does feel like the conversation's very timely, fresh, relevant to what's going on. So social media for me has been great in expanding my audience, but also in creating content that feels timely and helping me keep a pulse on what's happening in real time for older Gen Z and, you know, millennial women.
Yeah. And you do such a good job of it. I think people underestimate how not even difficult, but like it's not like you can organically grow an audience like very easily unless you kind of figure out what you're doing and who you're making content for. You know what I mean? So I love your TikTok and just what you do. But I'm curious, after that TikTok video went viral, was it just gradual? Did you experience like okay, like I'm blowing up overnight? How did your journey like specifically change then?
So I think for me, and people say this a lot, but it's true, the night that one video was going viral, I remember texting friends and screenshotting me like, is this normal? Or like, is this how TikTok is? And they're like, oh, that's crazy, the engagement. And I remember that night I took out a piece of paper. You know, I'm a woman of faith. I took out a piece of paper and I was praying and I was just writing down like my prayers for all the women in the comments, you know, because I was looking at each one and a lot of women were saying, echoing the same sentiments. Gosh, I wish I had, you know, female friendship. I wish I wasn't traumatized by women when I was younger so I can enjoy, you know, the love of another woman. Like it was just like so many heart cries and just praying for them. And then I was just like, you know what? That's what I'm doing this for. I don't want to get caught up. You know, it's easy to get caught up in your follower count. It's so easy. Just yeah. Like, Lord, what is the focus? What am I here to do? And that has helped shape the content. It has helped shape decisions about what feels like a good partnership, what doesn't, what feels like a good video to do, and what might kind of taint the brand a little bit. And I'm just doing it because it's the trends, but it doesn't really, you know, so it's helped to shape the decisions I make about the brand, about social media to remember what is the point of all of this, because it could be gone, you know, overnight. So that has been really helpful for me.
That's so special. And I feel like the fact that you were genuine, like really shines through in the things that you share, that you actually care about this, that you actually care about people. It's really special. And something that you do, for anyone who isn't familiar with Danielle's online presence or the work that she does, I really love that you, even at the event that I attended and we kind of talked at, how you integrate actual studies and research and statistics rather than it just being like, here's my opinion on this. Although obviously you're sharing your thoughts, but it's backed by science and it's, you know, backed by research. Why is that important to you? You know, what made you decide like, okay, I'm actually going to look into this rather than just talking about, you know, my experiences with friendship?
Yeah. So I just do it naturally. So it's when people say it back to me like, oh, I love that you include research. I just think it's fascinating. But one reason I like to lead with that, which I've been tempted to stop doing that because I've had people that I know who have discouraged it and said like, oh, well, you know, like, do people really want that?
Or is that so funny? I feel like everyone responds differently to things like that. I'm like, I love it. It's so great.
I think it's interesting. And so I just trust that like it'll find its audience, but I'm like, yeah. I think it's interesting. And so I've had people say like, oh gosh, you know, is it going to be, you know, they've said things and it made me rethink like, well, maybe I should just be more chill, you know? But you know what? One, it leverages my background as an educator, studying things I like to learn. But the reason I really lead with it is because so much of the conversation around women's friendship is about like tips on going to brunch and signs of red flags. And that is certainly helpful to have in your back pocket. But what happens is there's such a, it's seen as frivolous work. The industry of studying friendship in general as a soft science, right? It's already seen as kind of like silly, not as serious. And then you say female friendship, women's friendship, and it feels especially frivolous because a lot of, you know, the patriarchy would have us think that anything that's a woman's interest is silly. And so for me, it's important to lead with certain, you know, intellectual things and from an academic perspective to show us it is serious business, to show us what the research says about the benefits of conflict and social networks, to show what does the research have to say so that we can stop just seeing it as a thing that's nice to do and to have brunch with friends and start talking about it from like a wellness perspective and from like a health perspective. So I don't think I'll ever stop doing that, one, because I think it's fun and interesting, but two, because I need us to see friendship as serious business.
Yeah, that's something that I think that I and probably a lot of people struggle with or haven't realized, that it's not, as you said, as simple as like, oh, I wish I had someone to go to brunch with. Like, our friendships are so vital for our mental health, our emotional health. So I'm curious what your experience has been with adult friendship. Whether you like just what you are personally like bringing, because I feel like our own experiences inform how we talk about this so much.
Yeah. So, you know, I always like squirm at this question because I am very like, I like to throw on my blazer, share a couple studies and like leave. And it's easy to hide behind that. And I'm getting more comfortable with opening up about myself, you know, but you can't, you know, spend hours a week doing this work and not have your personal relationships be impacted by what you're learning, you know? So it's required me to like humble myself, certain things I learned, or do things differently. Cause I'm like, well, I learned that it's not effective to communicate that way. You know, things like that. It's helped my marriage surprisingly, because it's a lot of, it's the same stuff. Like friendship should be at the heart of your marriage. And so it's been really helpful. Being a friendship educator and having friends in real life is really interesting. I think it's made my friendships better. I think it's made me more courageous, you know? So little things we tend to do as women, like you perceive something weird, but you keep it to yourself because you're like, ah. Like I'm learning so much about how that's not effective and what to do instead. And so it makes me bold. It makes me bold to not only confront hard things in my friendships, but to love freely too. So not getting caught up in your head, oh, is this too much? Or if I tell her I really enjoyed yesterday, does that look too? I feel totally comfortable being like, oh my God, I love you so much. And, you know, and even in the hard things, can we talk about yesterday? Because I don't know what to make about what you said, you know, and to know that we're still going to be friends after. But on the downside, sometimes it does make me feel hypocritical sometimes, because I don't always get it right. I might know in my brain what is helpful to say or do, but I'm still a person. I have my own complexes, fears, hangups, and you know, my friendships are like actual investments in my life. They're not just like I'm talking to a TikTok audience. So that affects things you do and don't do, because it's going to have real consequences. And so sometimes I get it wrong. I even had a friend say to me once during we were going back and forth, and she said, well, okay, now friendship coach, like kind of like a, oh, really? You're doing this and you're, and I didn't know what to make of that. It made me feel like a person was calling me hypocrite. And she apologized for that later, but she was like, okay, I can't hold you to a higher standard because, you know, I'm a person too. So it's been interesting, but I will say I'm learning a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your vulnerability. I don't ever mean to put you on the spot, but I think it's so interesting. Yeah. And I feel challenged with some of the things you shared in a good way, because I am like very honest with my husband. I hope that like anyone listening, that you're honest with your partner, your spouse. But if he says something that offends me or that doesn't sit right, I'm immediately like, we need to talk. But with a friend, you know, it's easy to just be like, oh, I'm going to text our mutual friend and be like, hey, like, can you believe that she said this to me? Never address it. It's a hard pattern to break. So hearing the things that you've said online and even as we're talking, I'm like, ah, it's difficult.
It's so hard. It's so hard. And I think for women, it's tricky too, because there are so many cultural influences that play a role in what we say and do. So, you know, who wants to come across as like the difficult woman or that I'm being drama? You know, yeah. I just feel like we can't act as freely sometimes, because we're always thinking, how will I look if I, you know, and will I look like drama and all that? And so it's really hard. But I have found it's always worth it, no matter the outcome. If it goes left, it's worth it, because it gave me data that I need about that person's capacity. If you cannot take feedback, if you're not comfortable hearing me express that I was uncomfortable by that thing you did yesterday, it's always helpful to get that data back, that a person can't forgive, they can't have a hard conversation, that they tally your infractions. It's good for me to know. And it's also helpful if the outcome is positive. If a friend's like, oh my God, I had no idea I did that. Like, thank you for telling me. Or like, oh my gosh, Danielle, you know, let me support you. I didn't know you were struggling. It helps me lean in even closer, because they've demonstrated their level of acceptingness and things like that. So either way I'm learning, it's worth it to mention it, even though it feels like such a great risk to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think thinking about friendship in the context of how I think about other relationships, specifically, you know, my romantic relationship, I'm like, okay, this is also so important. You know, I don't have to like just let resentment build. I can talk about it. But I also love, and I was thinking about this when I, you know, was at your event, how you've cultivated in-person community. So like, obviously there's this huge online community, which is incredible and amazing, but like, you're also like kind of walking the walk, because you know, here in Tampa, you know, we're gathering, we're getting together, we're making friends. So why or how have you prioritized that as well?
You know, that's actually very new. Events make me very overwhelmed. There's like vendors and you're trying to, are people going to come? Are they not? And so it's very new to me to have events, but it feels like the most natural next step, because if there are all these women listening to the podcast and things like that, they're very serious about connection. They're curious about it. So why would I not be facilitating opportunities for them to meet one another and us do it in real time? And so I'm just like, oh, I can't, I got to get over being, you know, nervous or feeling very ill-equipped to throw events, and instead enlist people who this is what they do. They throw events and they love it. I'm like, great, you know. But two things I really like about it is, one, providing an experience that feels very different, because, you know, I'm not really too much into aesthetics and things like that, or like the Instagrammable wall that you, I'm very about like, okay, you're going to come and we're going to learn, and then we're going to get a chance to apply it. And maybe that's teacher mode, but it's going to be like, we're going to talk. We're going to learn some things, and then we're going to do like an exercise. And I mean, the girls who get it, get it. If some people, if maybe that's like too much, that's fine, but they kind of know what they're getting when they sign up. So it's cool to kind of have women say like, oh, that was different. Okay. And also I've been a part of events where, you know, no shade to anybody, but there's a lot of women empowerment events, which I think are so necessary. But if you wanted to, you could go in, come out, and not have said anything to anybody. They didn't say anything to you. I don't understand it. And so that's one thing we're going to do. And I'm going to say hello to you, and we're going to talk, and I'm going to be your wing woman, you know. But it's also really cool to see other women connect and to see them form a group chat after and to see them tag themselves at brunch. So it's nice to, like you said, I guess, like have an opportunity to walk the walk and to give women who need like a little boost a chance to, you know, create and deepen their friendships.
I love hearing kind of like your thought process behind it. For listeners, so Danielle and our mutual friend Yamel, who I've had on the podcast because she was my postpartum doula, had this event, you know, where you have an opportunity to network and meet people. And it was like in this super cute hotel here in Tampa. But walking in and knowing no one, it's so funny because I feel like I'm like transported to like middle school lunchroom, you know. Yes. I'm like, oh my gosh, are they gonna like me? Are they gonna think I'm weird? But it was such a good experience. I'm like, no one else here, you know, really knows anyone either. So like, we're all in it together. And I found it really inspiring. So I just wanted to share more of that for anyone listening who like, we're talking about events and I haven't mentioned like why I love it so much. So it was great though. It was really good.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. And that was like a chill one because I was co-hosting with somebody else and they were like, keep it chill. And I was like, okay, just come in and grab some champagne. But, you know, friend forward, my business, we had an event in March and, you know, we had food, we had drinks, we had a panel, we had, we split into rooms, we did workshops. And there was even one challenge we did at one event where in one room we called it phone a friend. And I had brought all these different phones from different like eras, like a phone from the 1960s and like all these antique phones, we put them around the room. And the challenge in that room was you were going to go into your phone, you're going to scroll through your text to the last person in there at the bottom. That's probably a person you have not talked to in a long time. And we're all going to text or call that person. We're all going to do it right now. And then we had a little center where they could talk about whether or not they did it and then how they felt. 90% of the women did it. And 100% of those women said, I am so glad I did that. Women were calling them back. And so they'd have to step out because the person called them and they had a conversation outside and it like gave me goosebumps. It was awesome. And we had, you know, a handful of women who were like, I can't bring myself to do it. I'm just so nervous. I'm so nervous. I just can't. But it was just one of those, we're all going to do it together. And I think it helps to show that like, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. So I'm so glad that the event resonated. And I just want to, I guess it's validation and confirmation for me to try to bring more of those experiences out because it was great.
Yeah, it was so good. So I wanted to shift gears because, you know, we're both Black women who are kind of in a different spaces, but, you know, you have to be self-promotional. You have to put yourself out there. Often, I mean, at least for me with content creation in an industry, I mean, you can kind of maybe explain like what your space looks like demographically, but it's primarily white, and it can, you know, there are microaggressions and there are difficulties. I'm just curious how that plays into the work that you do and maybe any challenges that you face.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you asked that question. Because I don't get that often. And so I have some thoughts.
That's exactly what I was hoping you'd say.
Thank you for like even making the space to like talk about this part. Here's what's interesting. I don't know if it's because of how I speak or how I present. It's very smiley, the content. It's very safe. It attracts a certain kind of person, right? And people want you to keep being palatable. I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge, I think, certain partnerships and things like that are people who are like, oh, I like, or are some white people who are like, oh, we like her style, this and that, which is great. That's fine. I'm always thinking it's interesting when I divert from that. And when I make a video about something sternly and straight-faced and maybe has a little attitude or it's just not so palatable, I've had people talk about that. I've had people in the comments like, whoa, you just like seem really mean or like the attitude's not necessary. And I don't do it often, but it's just like, huh, that's interesting. And then also in this new season of my podcast, the Friend Forward podcast, we're having more conversations that are for Black women specifically. So this episode might not be for you. And how you respond says a lot. If you're angered, you know, it says something to me almost like, it, you know, we could take it to a microcosm of friendship, because if your Black friend is talking about something and you're upset because you're uncomfortable, you don't understand, you feel like it doesn't center you right now, that's a basic friendship issue that sometimes it's not about you. So in this season, we're having episodes about, you know, how depression presents itself in Black women differently and how do we support each other. You know, for Black women who say, I've tried to be friends with white women, I can't do it anymore. And I don't feel bad about it. You know, we're having a whole episode on that coming up. I already know it's going to be a thing. But there are, you know, for people to feel called in, sometimes you need content specifically for them. And it's not about you right now. And so I leaned more into that as the brand has grown into making Black women feel seen in the friendship space. But yes, it has ruffled feathers of people who wanted to be safe and all inclusive, specifically white women. And that's just not my problem.
Well, thank you for that. I feel like I need to hear that. Other people need to hear that. I feel like it's also something, because I've had experiences, I don't think on the scale that you have, but with going viral, and you gain all these people who have seen maybe one video or one post of yours and kind of form an expectation of like, this is what I'm going to get. As you mentioned, it's often in my experience, white women who then let you know, hey, I'm upset that this is not how you are 100% of the time. You know, it's very interesting. But I think that the work that you're doing for Black women and like, you know, this is for Black women is so important. Even though, yeah. I know that you have to get pushback from people who either don't get it or pretending they don't get it, one or the other.
Yeah. It's been interesting, but I just, I don't know. I want this to still be fun for me.
Yeah.
And so that means I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. If in my heart, I know we're being fair, compassionate, you know, having thought provoking conversation, and you say, oh, this episode's not for me. You know, with regard to anything, you might say like, oh, this is about, you know, mom friends and I'm child free. You can listen in and learn something or you can skip. I don't know what to tell you, you know, so it's interesting, but for it to stay fun for me, I have to do things. I have to be able to speak freely. And if there's any part of me that's thinking like, they might get upset, like, or they might not, I'm not bending to the white gaze on the platform that is mine. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. I feel like that could just be like put on a billboard. okay, I wanted to end on the most exciting thing, which is that you have a book coming out. So let's talk about that. How did that, I mean, share as much or as little as you want to, but how did that come about? How does it feel to kind of have this on the horizon? I think it's just like so exciting. I want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. So it's titled Fighting for Our Friendships, and it's part textbook, part handbook. It's just, I think the research is interesting. Women I talk to think it's interesting. So there's going to be some of that. But the idea of the book is to explain why women's friendships are deep yet fragile. And many of us know that to be true from having friendships. We're like, oh my God, this is so deep. I love this woman I see. But you also kind of feel in the back of your mind, like, you know, that if you make any kind of misstep, it might turn her off, offend her, break girl code. We know. And so, but explaining the mechanics of that, why does it feel that way? Why does it feel like we have a secret language? Why? And then how do we get over the hump when conflict happens? Because I think too many friendships end prematurely because of a lot of things. So it's trying to kind of like answer that question. But yeah, I didn't really have a goal of writing a book. Somebody made a comment once on a TikTok video, and they said, over here waiting for your book, like, you know, dot, dot, dot. And I was like, oh. And it wasn't a goal. And I just thought like, okay. And honestly, maybe it's because, you know, I'm from the PR world. I hear no all the time when I pitch myself or pitch a client. I hear no. So I have thick skin. So I was like, you know what? I looked up a bunch of agents who have represented books that are somewhat in that realm. And I just was like, let me shoot my shot. I didn't have a book proposal. I said, I don't have one yet. I can write one. Here's who I am. Here's what I like to talk about. I'm in this space, so I know what is being spoken about and what's not. Here's what I've done. Here's who I partnered with. And I think this would be really interesting. And, you know, most of them didn't write back at all. A handful were like, if you don't have a proposal, I can't talk to you. And two were interested, and we had the Zoom meeting, and then I had to choose between the two. So it's kind of crazy, but I think it just like gave me even more courage of just like, even if something feels out of reach, just do it. Like, just do it. And if they tell you no, whatever, but they might tell you yes, and it could change everything. And so I'm really excited for it. I owe a lot of things to other women who have put me on, who have been spreading the message about the podcast and things like that. I owe a lot of it to women who share stuff. I mean, it's all them. So I feel really blessed, and I don't take it for granted. And I hope that even if a woman reads that book and she hates it, that there's like two pages in there that she's like, okay, well, that was useful. I'll take it.
I'm sure there'll be more than two pages, but I get what you're saying. I think that your message, I worked in PR briefly, and it's like internalizing the worst they can say is no, is like was the biggest thing for me. Like the fact that you're here because you have the mentality of like, they could say no, but that's okay. You'll survive is amazing. That's like so inspiring.
Yeah. It's been really cool. And so, so the book comes out in May, and we're going to try to do all the things to promote it and have fun and all that good stuff. But you know, I don't think that it's like, here's the book to answer all your questions. You know, it's not an encyclopedia. I hope it's one of many friendship books on your shelf. And I just hope that it prompts you to have even more questions and to go have conversations in your book club and with women in your class or your women's group or your Bible study, just to get us talking about it beyond tips for brunch and red flags for toxic friends, just like something a little bit deeper. So we'll see what happens.
So y'all, I have just found out just from like friends and people I know who have written books, how important pre-orders are for authors. So keep an eye out for Danielle's book and the pre-order link. I will be pre-ordering it, and you should as well. I am so grateful for this conversation. Where can people find you on social media, your podcast? Just like, where do you usually direct people?
Yeah. So everything lives at betterfemalefriendships.com. So that's, you know, the podcast, the TikTok links and all the things at betterfemalefriendships.com. And I just appreciate you for the opportunity to lend my voice to this conversation.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Asked by Ayana. I hope that you enjoyed the listen. If you're looking for a way to support the podcast, taking the time to leave a rating or review or sharing it with someone who you think may enjoy it is a huge help and goes a long way. See you next week.